You're listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Make sure you're at the newly renovated First Energy Stadium this season to see your Cleveland Browns in action at the best prices by securing your Cleveland Browns season tickets today. Visit clevelandbrowns.com or call 440-824-3434 today. Nathan Zagura, Vic Carucci with you, and we go now to the Ohio Business Machines hotlines to bring in Mary Kay Cabot from cleveland.com and the Cleveland Plain Dealer. Hey, Mary Kay.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Doing very well. We'll start with our hot topic of the day. You're Mike Pettine, Mary Kay. Who are you starting at quarterback on Monday?
You know what? There's no doubt about it in my mind. I start Johnny Manziel in that game. There's so many reasons, so many good reasons to do it. The first one would be if you want to make your decision on a starter after this game, you have to have an apples-to-apples comparison. This guy started a game, and that guy started a game. How did they do? I think there's a difference. Even if you're playing also against Washington's first team with your own first team, there's a difference between starting a game and coming off a bench. Once the game gets started, the butterflies dissipate a little bit. You get into the flow. You get to the zone. I think you need to see him start before he has an opportunity to look at those little pieces of paper flying around and see what the defense is trying to do. You need to see him start before he gets to look at an iPad and see what kind of tendencies they're using today. So I would throw him in there cold, see how he handles it, see how he handles the big stage, the nervousness right from the start.
Yeah, we're all in agreement, Mary Kay, and all those reasons make perfect sense. What's your sense of how Brian Hoyer is handling things now and just observing the way he's responding to the questions about it and body language and all those? Do you sense in any way that he's become conciliatory since he said, which was only a matter of days ago, that basically this is my team until I'm told otherwise?
You know what? I think he's handling it. I think he's been very steady, and I think he's been very consistent. I think he's done a very good job of not letting his emotions get away with him. He hasn't been too up. He hasn't been too down. He's learned a lot of that from working under Tom Brady and from working in that Patriots system with Bill Belichick. You handle what's before you. You don't worry about what you can't control, and you don't get too high or too low. So I think he's done a great job of that. But I do also sense that Brian is starting to kind of get the feeling that, Johnny is a rolling ball of thunder and one that it's going to be hard to hold off.
I think one of the things that's tough is that I think there is a perception that seems to be growing locally, nationally, for people who are watching this team at practice every day, who are watching the games, have seen, you know, a Johnny Manziel who has improved dramatically from minicamp till now, and has even improved, I'd say, dramatically from the beginning of training camp until now, and a Brian Hoyer who has not made those same improvements and who has in some ways plateaued, a notion that was echoed by Ron Jaworski from ESPN today, earlier today on the Really Big Show here on KNR. Is that the same sense that you have of it, Mary Kay? Is that how your evaluation of these two goes?
That is exactly how I'm seeing it, and what I'm seeing is, and we had heard this going in, that Johnny was going to be a very, very quick study. He's just a natural. He's a gym rat, and he just has a feel for the game of football, and you could see that in his first outing. The things that he's done better than I thought he would do, number one, throwing from the pocket. He's done better at that. And I remember talking to George Whitfield at the Combine, and he said, hey, Johnny was number one in college football in accuracy from the pocket last year.
He was better than Bridgewater. It's true.
And yes, and doesn't get any credit for that. People don't view him that way. So I've seen that, and I've been, you know, pleasantly surprised with that. Also, the revolution of the football, the spin on the ball to me is better than I thought it would be, both on, you know, intermediate passes and the long ball. Right. I think that's better than I expected. You know, we don't hear enough about Johnny's arm, but his arm is every bit as good as Brian Hoyer's arm. There's no question about that. And so, yeah, the lights are coming on. But one of the things that really stood out to me that Mike Pettine said this week was when we were talking to him about Rex Grossman, he made this following statement. He said, you can't really apply the veteran label to Brian Hoyer because he has so few snaps in the NFL. He said that those amount of snaps all kind of paints him as a rookie. So they're not comparing a seasoned veteran to a rookie. They're comparing an almost rookie to a real rookie.
Mary Kay Cabot joining us on the Ohio Business Machines Hotline here on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. You brought up Rex Grossman. So what to you, Mary Kay, does signing Rex mean in the big picture to both quarterbacks, to both Johnny Manziel and Brian Hoyer? I know it started or helped start a lot of the conversation about a potential Hoyer trade, which Nathan and I don't think is happening, or at least the one that's been rumored regarding Houston. But how do you see the impact of Grossman's acquisition?
Well, first of all, you know what? Kyler Sigpen made that decision pretty easy. He wasn't playing well, and, you know, we could all see that. So
yes.
Why not? You know, they wanted to give him a chance. He's young, and see if he's got some potential. That didn't work out. So then it is time to turn to Rex and bring in the savvy veteran. There's a couple of ways that this can help them. Look, Mike Pettine had already said he doesn't want Brian Hoyer and Johnny Manziel to be warm and fuzzy. So Johnny is not going to be picking Brian's brains all the time on the nuances of this offense. He can't do it. They don't want him to do it. Brian doesn't have time to deal with that. He's trying to learn the offense himself. It's new to him. Now, Rex, you know, he can take Johnny aside and say, here's what you need to do in this situation. He can even do the same thing with Brian. So he's that buffer between the two of them, but he's also another coach in the meeting room and on the field.
Yeah, I think it's a huge addition for both Brian Hoyer and Johnny Manziel to have a guy who's been on the field and seen this offense and played in it. Talking with Mary Kay Cabot, of course, from Cleveland.com, the Cleveland Plain Dealer on the Ohio Business Machines Hotline. Mary Kay, outside of the quarterbacks, what is the one thing you're looking forward to seeing the most from this game Monday night against the Redskins?
Well, you know, there's a couple things, really. I want to see a little bit more of Terrence West. I want to see him against a first-team defense. I think that's a great battle between those two guys, Ben Tate and Terrence West. There were a few times in the pistol where the exchanges between Johnny and Terrence, they didn't go that well. I think Terrence also needs to sell the fake a little bit better at times. So I'd like to see him a little bit more, again, trying to operate out of that pistol and what he will do against a really good quality first team defense. So that's one thing. And then, you know, hey, let's take a look at Justin Gilbert. This is the Browns' first opportunity to see him in a game. Looks like he's going to play, and he's been looking great in practice. So I'm interested to see what he can do. And then, we hear everything about this pass rush, and, you know, we really need to see it. We need to see what Paul Kruger, Jabal Sheard, and Barkevious Mingo are going to do this year. They need to step it up, especially Paul and Barkevious from last year. Can they do it this year?
I think it's a good question. The other question that I'm really curious to get your take on, and certainly that I'm looking forward to, is let's say that there is no Josh Gordon. Who's going to be that other outside receiver? I mean, the last couple of days, Travis Benjamin has really opened my eyes with some very strong performances at receiver. I'd say maybe two of his best practices as a pure receiver since he's joined the Cleveland Browns. How do you see kind of that other position? They've got Taylor Gabriel, who's flashed. Charles Johnson starting to come on strong. We haven't seen Nate Burleson really, it seems like, in a while. You know, that's another thing I think that's got to be an important position, a question to be answered.
That is an unbelievably important position right now, and I keep looking out there and thinking, you know, where are they going to get another receiver? Unless some of these guys can really nail it down and solidify it. Yes, Travis Benjamin has had some really good practices, but he is also coming off a torn ACL, and he has had a tendency to drop the ball every now and again,
yep.
And we know that he's very, very raw in his route running. So although I think, again, he can stretch the field and he can do some great things, and I think he will make some big plays, he's still very young and green, and they're kind of missing that, you know, veteran go-to guy out there. Now, Miles, if he can stay healthy, he can be that guy. Nate, I think that's a huge disappointment that I see him over there riding the bike every day, because I think he's losing ground in being able to contribute for the team. He hasn't been around much with the broken arm and now the hamstring. And so, you know, I look out there and I see they have to come up with something. You know, we heard rumblings that they did some due diligence on Santonio Holmes. That scares me from everything I've heard about Santonio Holmes. I think that can really upset the apple cart in the locker room. I just don't know that that's a good idea unless he has really changed and turned around his personality. I hear things that really would bother me about having him around. And you know, somebody else has got to step up. Anthony Armstrong, Andrew Hawkins, I think they've fallen back to the pack a little bit. They need to come back out front.
Mary Kay, one other receiver question, and of course it concerns the one that we've all been talking about for months now. Josh Gordon and the connection that has been made between the potential punishment for him from the league, suspension, and the leaking of information from apparently from the league to the Washington Post regarding the Ray Rice situation, that the league will start becoming more severe with its punishment for domestic violence issues. Do you see the connection there? And some have speculated that it's sort of bracing us for what will be a heavy-handed punishment for Gordon, because in the future, the quote, more serious issues, such as the one Ray Rice was in, will be dealt with more severely.
Yeah, you know what? I can see that. I can see them paving the way and having that, basically say, yes, you know, the Josh Gordon thing was harsh, but don't worry, you know, we will handle the domestic violence things that way in the future. So, yeah, I think that sends up a red flag. This is a dicey situation, what's going on with Josh Gordon. It really is a tough one, because I think his lawyers have a very strong case, and they're making some really good points in that, you know, they believe that no one else has ever had that B test be underneath the threshold and still have somebody kicked out of the league. But it still is by the rules. I mean, that 16 above the threshold that was the positive test and the 13.63, that still means positive test in stage three and you're gone. So unless Maurice Suh and Heather McPhee really blew Harold Henderson away with their evidence and with their testimony in those 13 hours of hearing, there will be some harsh judgment coming down on Josh Gordon. It's going to be really interesting and I think controversial.
No doubt about that. Mary Kay, thanks so much for joining us here today, and I look forward to getting your take on the game against Washington next week.
Sounds good. Thanks, guys.
All right, that's Mary Kay Cabot from Cleveland.com and Cleveland Plain Dealer here. When we return on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford, we'll continue to go to the phone lines with you, 216-578-0850. Who should start at quarterback on Monday and why? Let us know. And also, we'll hear some sound from Barkevious Mingo, someone Mary Kay just singled out as someone she wants to see impress on Monday night. He's looked very good in practice, seems to be developing his game nicely in year number two. We'll hear some sound from him about his rookie season and what he expects to have happen this year when we return.